Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills is a healing evangelist, a best-selling author, and a mega church pastor. He's the founder of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches, overseeing over 3,000 churches across every continent of the world. He pastors the First Love Church, a vibrant church in the city of Accra, transforming the lives of thousands of young people for the Lord. Now listen to Dag Heward Mills.
Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Oh, give the Lord a mightier shout of praise. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. If you are not shouting, you are probably not alive. Are you alive or you are dead? Give the Lord a shout of praise. Wow, what a blessing. What a blessing. It's been a great and amazing year. The Bible says, after you have eaten and you are full, praise the Lord. Amen. So maybe you've not received a financial miracle this year. Maybe you've not received miracle money. Maybe you've not traveled abroad. Maybe you've not gotten a beloved. But you've eaten and you are full. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. We have powerful testimonies to say thank you to God today for his amazing blessings the whole year. Let's put our hands together for Gloria Glover as she comes up to share her testimony. Oh, do it better for her. Do it better for her. Keep clapping, keep clapping, keep clapping. I see the God of the last hour visiting you before the year ends in Jesus' name. If you believe it, shout, I receive it. Amen. Gloria, what has God done for you?
Okay, so I want to thank God for so many good things he has done for me this year. He's delivered my family from death and mourning. And he's also restored my job and also delivered me from a huge debt. So earlier this year, my mom, my son, my sister and her husband were all diagnosed with COVID-19. And when it happened, I was devastated because my mom had a serious health condition that we all thought that she won't make it. But then I called my pastor and I told him that this was the situation. And he told me to calm down and he prayed with me. And he told me that Bishop has always been telling us about how to pray and to believe in the flow prayer services. So I should just join in and everything will be fine. So I prayed with him and then I believed God that something good will come up. And in that same moment, I had been laid off from work. And the job, I had just started a month earlier. And because of the COVID, they had to lay me off.
I remember one time Prophet was about to take offering and he told us, because my God is a rewarder, not a robber. God is not going to take anything from you. God is going to rather reward you for your service to him. If you believe it, shout amen.
Amen.
What happened?
So I was laid off from job and then I had a huge debt that I had to pay and I didn't know how to pay the debt. And some way, somehow, by praying with the flow prayer services and everything, my mom was healed. My son was healed. By the grace of God, every single one of them came out healed. And there were tests to confirm that we're all negative.
Oh, give the Lord a shout of praise. And put your hands together for Jesus. Maybe you were not diagnosed at all. That's also a miracle. Why don't you give the Lord a mighty you are still sitting down. He's healed. Shout and give the Lord a mighty shout of praise. Wow. And what about the job?
Okay, so barely a month after, I was called for an interview. And I remember one of the things I told my sister when I came back from the interview was that I don't think I'll get the job because there were finer girls and there were more fit.
It's not my finest.
People who were more capable to do the job. And interestingly, and by the grace of God, because I believe that it wasn't by my strength, I was able to get the job. And then some way, somehow, I realized, I didn't even notice, but then I realized that my debt was paid. And I want to thank God for his goodness. I want to thank him for mercy for my family because it's not been easy trusting that the sickness that is killing other people has come to my family and has left. Wow. But then I want to thank God and I want to encourage everyone to believe in the prayers, believe in each and every prophecy that the prophets declares over our lives, and then have faith and know that it will work for your good. Amen.
It will work for you too. Put your hands together for that powerful testimony. And let's welcome Mami Esi Nwama to share the final testimony with us. Oh, put your hands together for her. Put your hands together for her. Oh, do it better. Do it better. What a blessing. God is coming through for you too in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Name and where you are calling from.
My name is Barbara Mamiesi Afrenyama. I'm with the Lovelet Ministry. So my testimony is about how God...
Are you sharing the testimony to support?
He's here, this is my husband. A1.
Oh, give it up for the A1 husband. Give it up.
So my testimony is about how Daddy's camp messages delivered me from depression and blessed me with children.
Wow.
My husband, he leaves the camp messages on 24/7. One day, I woke up and the message I heard was, ladies, it was a camp from 2003 in Switzerland. And Daddy said, ladies, in the future, when you lose a baby, don't cry. It is better to lose the baby than to give birth to a vagabond.
Mm.
3 months down the line, by God's grace, I got pregnant. And I lost the pregnancy around 12 weeks. Because of the message that has gone ahead of me, I did not cry. I rather gave thanks to God that he has delivered me from a vagabond child. 3 months again, by the grace of God, I got pregnant again. And that one too, I woke up to a message from a camp meeting in Italy, 2005. And Daddy, when I woke up, Daddy was preaching and he said, lady, I'm telling you again, in the future, when you lose a baby, do not cry. God will do it anyway. And it wasn't part of it. It was a casual prophecy, and I believed it. So the second pregnancy, I lost it. And to the glory of God, I got pregnant again. And I have 2 kids by the grace of God. God did it.
The
prophecy.
Give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on, come on, come on. Celebrate the goodness of God. You have 2 kids by the grace of God.
By the grace of one boy, one girl.
Wow.
So I want to encourage everyone here that the camp messages, even if it's from 10 years ago, there is still power in the camp messages. And add faith to it and it will work for your good. Thank you.
Wow. Put your hands together for that powerful testimony. God bless you. And God is also coming through for you. We say thank you to God for the many testimonies, for the many miracles, for the many breakthroughs. If you are here and you've received a miracle this year, you've received a testimony this year, why don't you stand to your feet and shout a big yeah? Put your hands together for powerful testimonies.
Hallelujah. What a blessing. Today is the last Sunday of the year 2020. We are blessed. That's why most of you here are wearing white, but it's actually red and white. So anybody who is wearing red after church, see me for a prize. You're going to get a prize for knowing what is right. And having a red fan. If you have a red, anything red that you have, it goes along with the white. It's always white and red. Ah, Joshua has something red for his face. Red chairs. No, but the chairs were here before you came. All right. Now you may be seated. Hallelujah. Now, this is an important time or session in our amazing service for today. The next time we meet is the Chalak night. All right. We'll tell you the venue for that. Amen. Now, today's offering theme is, because I have made my choice to serve the Lord, no matter how many businesses, shops, jobs, ministries collapse in this season of uncertainties, none of mine shall collapse. Amen. I'll take it again. Because I have made my choice to serve the Lord. It's my choice. No matter how many businesses, shops, jobs, ministries, or churches collapse in this season of uncertainties, none of mine shall collapse. Amen. None of mine shall collapse. Exodus chapter 9. Now, before you turn to Exodus chapter 9, I want you to look at 1 Timothy 1 verse 18 so that you understand why I am giving you this prophecy. 1 Timothy 1 verse 18. And it says, "This charge I commit unto thee, my son Timothy." Now, even though Paul, we know, didn't marry or didn't have any biological children, Timothy was his son. May you be a Timothy. According to the prophecies, which went on before you. All right? That thou mightest by them, you use the prophecies to war a good warfare. Amen. So, this charge, this commission, these instructions I'm giving to you, all right? Are you there? My son. And what are the instructions I'm giving to you? Are instructions. Let the people sit in where they can see me, not behind a pillar. All right? Sit where you can see me. If you can't see, move from where you are. There's no reservation here. This is not an aeroplane. Okay? Now, you see, prophecies are used to fight. Prophecies are used to fight. And based on a prophecy you believe. But the prophecy you believe is the one that you will see. You know, if your father curses you, it's likely to happen. If your mother curses you, it's likely to happen. So, and if someone inspired by the Holy Spirit, whether it's a pastor or prophet, curses you, it can easily happen. Now, if he blesses you, it can also easily happen. So when a prophetic word is spoken, this is what Paul was helping Timothy to see. That I'm telling you what I'm telling you now. It's a charge. It's like advice. But it is according to some prophecies. I'm speaking even the instructions that I'm giving you according to certain prophecies that have already been stated and been spoken. Amen. That By them you will war and fight a good warfare. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, we are at war. All right? And this war causes the enemy to either win over you or you win. So in this war, one of the things we use are prophecies, predictions, and declarations. Verse 19 says, holding faith. You must always never give up beliefs. Holding faith. Always give your hold, have beliefs. Declare. When we say you are crossing 70 with ease, you hold it. Don't let it go. When we say none of your businesses or jobs or churches or anything shall collapse, hold it. Holding faith, which some people have put away. They don't believe things anymore. They put things away and have made shipwreck. All right? So you make shipwreck or you crash your life, do you see, by throwing away prophetic words and teachings. Some of the teaching, they're just teaching, just talking, casual. Don't throw it away. You make your life go into ruins, shipwreck. You may not know, understand shipwreck, but it means like a car accident, a bad accident, that the car is a write-off. So, this prophetic offerings, this is the 28th one, I think. 28th of these different prophetic offerings. And this one says, because I have made my choice to serve the Lord, no matter how many businesses, shops, jobs, ministries collapse in this season of uncertainties, put it back on the screen, please. None of mine shall collapse. None. Nothing that is mine shall collapse in this season of uncertainty. Can I have an amen from you? Now, Exodus chapter 9, verse 1. The Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus says the Lord, the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may fool around. That they may what? Serve me. Can you increase the font size on your screen so that we see it clearer, more clear, okay? Make it bigger. Right. Now, the Lord said, okay, to Moses, go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go so that my people will serve me. Wow. You see, you didn't come here. Sometimes we go to church and we spend the whole day in church. In our church, we spend a long time. Not that it's not service is going to end soon. But generally, people like being around. And we also don't mind being around at all. You get what I'm saying? It's like we don't mind at all being in church. And people got used to being in church, just being in the house of the Lord. That's why Samuel's mother brought Samuel to stay in the church. Because when you stay in church for some time, you're likely to hear the voice of God. And that's exactly what happened to Samuel. He heard the voice of God after growing up in the church, not in his house. Because he could have grown up in his house and come later. But there is something you get by being in the house of the Lord. So, he said, Let my people go that they may serve me, not that they may fool around. Or not that they do anything bad. It's just serving God. Amen. For if thou refuse to let them go and will hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep, and there shall be a very grievous murrain. Murrain is like a rain of stones. You know, it's not a new thing that world events have happened where the human beings that are in the world are baffled. They don't know what is happening in the world. This is not the first time. But we are living practically in this realm. Now, Reinhard Bonnke, who died around this time last year, okay, when he died, what occurred to me when the pandemic started was that, hey, this man has escaped this pandemic. Like he was buried, and then after that, the world went into pandemic. And I was thinking that this man has escaped the pandemic, but not really completely, because in 1939, he was born in, I think, around 1939, but in like 1945, 1940, that was the Second World War. The whole world was affected by the war. So that was another thing that was affecting the whole world, and he was in it. And he was also, escaping and running away, and their whole lives were affected because he was a German and they were fighting the war. All right? So, there are things and events that happen in the world that affect everybody, and the world is baffled and confused by what is going on. And we just happen to have fallen straight into one. You get it? Yeah. Now, and the Lord shall severe, this was, the murrain is what? An infectious disease. That's what they say. A fatal disease. Now the Lord shall sever between the cattle and of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. And there shall nothing die of all that is the children's of Israel. What do you think? Let's go through the offering statement again. It's a prophecy. Because I have made my choice to serve the Lord like the Israelites. They said, let my people go that they may serve me. Okay? So now he says, because I've made my choice to serve the Lord, no matter how many businesses, there's going to be a murrain. It's going to affect the businesses, shops, cows, cattle, oxen, sheep, goats, jobs, shops, ministries, collapsing in this season of uncertainties. None of mine shall collapse. So nothing shall die of all that is of the children of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow shall the Lord do this thing in the land. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died. Huh. But of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. No, none of my business, none of my work, none of my jobs, none of my ministry, none of my church shall collapse. And I believe that our church has not collapsed. Amen. And Pharaoh sent. And behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Amazing. Stubbornness is some way. So So in this season of uncertainties, amen, nothing of yours will collapse. In fact, you are rather going to improve. Hallelujah. You are rather going to improve. You are rather going to improve. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. Notice. Notice it says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You see, any affliction that you are going through, listen carefully. All right? This is offering and beyond offerings. Your light, how many have been through some afflictions this year? Notice, I'm going to show you a master key. Mata kasato pasha balada. Which is but for a moment worketh for us. It's working for us. A far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Now, this scripture is similar to Romans 8:28, but it has a key which is not in Romans 8:28. Yes. Are you ready for the key? It's saying that bad things, light afflictions, in fact, he calls it light. You may not call it light because you are in it and it doesn't feel light. But you know, everything falls into the right perspective and the right size the further you go away from it. You know, anything that's happening in your life today, by 2024, 2023, 2022, any a little further away from now, you will look back and it will all be in size. And you will see that, oh, it was a much smaller thing than I thought at that time. Because when you go up in the sky, you look down and say, ah, is that East Lagos? It's a very small place with some red roads. I said, ah, I thought it was a big... When you go up, you see that Accra is like Salaga. Yes. Red sand everywhere. When you go up, you look down, you realize that, oh, it's not big at all. When you go up a bit, you see that the sea is just here. You see that this is the last mountain and then the sea comes. All the planes now pass over Anakazo because it has now become a landmark for the pilots. I don't know, but I assume because they never used to pass here. But now they pass here. Watch, are you watching? Something wonderful is happening. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it is going to fall into perspective and it works for us a more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. But that's not the end. You see, the reason why you can believe that something is working out something good is depends on the next verse. Yes. Which says, while we look not at the things which are seen. So it is only while we look at the things which are not seen that you will realize that this affliction is actually working out something amazing. Once you look just at the natural, you'll never see that something is working any glory. What a glory is this? How can this be glory? Let's be serious. It depends on what you are looking at. As soon as you change to while we look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, We don't look at the things which are seen, but you start looking at eternity. And you realize the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Eternal. Now, eternity is not endless time. No, it's outside of time. Eternity is not endless time. It's another realm. I will explain it because you see, time is something just happening on earth in a way that we don't understand. Now, time is much more complex than you think. You see, if I put you on a plane, on a rocket, that we are able to establish to go at half of the speed of light to visit one of the stars. In about 2 weeks, you will get to a star. Do you see? You get to a star. By the time you get to the star and come back to the earth, if you go at half of the speed of light, it will take you 2 weeks. By the time you come back to earth, you'd have spent 2 weeks. But by the time you get back to earth, it will be your great-grandchildren who will be alive on earth. Yes. Everybody would have finished living and dying to your great-grandchildren. Yes, but for you, it would have been only 2 weeks. Jenny. Yes. At half of the speed of light. I'm explaining something to you. Yes. Yeah.
Explain. We are learning. Wow.
You didn't know that, you see. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we see that there's nothing that we have that can go that fast. But you in the plane going will spend just 2 weeks to go and come because you'll be going very fast. But by the time you get back, only your great-grandchildren will be here. So much time has passed. So time is a relative idea. Eternity is a dimension. Yes. God lives in that dimension. Wow. It's a dimension of existence. Wow. It's not about something going very fast or forever. It's timeless. So when we look at things that are in that realm, we see that our glory is increasing over there. But when you look on this earth, you see affliction, 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 affliction. But once you are able to tune to that realm, you'll be seeing glorious things of your life that are being heaped up because of certain things you've been through. And that's why they ask you, what have you been through? Tell me what you've been through. Not tell me your ideas. Tell me what have you been through that you are still around. That's why Jesus says, you are the guys who've continued with me. Not the guys who started. Or the guys who are saying amen, amen. You are they who have continued with me in my temptations. You, at least you continued. You didn't achieve much. You continued. Beautiful. Anyway, so this year, whatever you've been through, financially, spiritually, academically, relationally, crying-wise, suffering-wise, I prophesy that although 1,000 may fall at your side, and many may collapse by you and faint, yours will never collapse in the name of Jesus. And I declare over your difficulties and your struggles that they are indeed working for you an eternal weight of glory. God is real. God is alive. And he shall manifest himself practically in your life. What happened in the days of the Egyptians and the Israelites, when none of the Israelite cattle died, shall happen practically in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Nothing that is yours, that is dear to you, shall be lost. and shall collapse. So says the Lord, and so it shall come to pass in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for a blessing for your children. Ah, napato zaramandala. Mind-boggling blessings and help for everyone watching us, and that is part of this service in the UK, in America, in Switzerland, in Germany, South Africa, in Ghana, everywhere. Nothing shall collapse. I pray over everyone and I declare and prophesy your blessing. I prophesy your help, divine help, Lord, over everyone. Thank you for your mighty power. We believe the Bible. We believe your word. We believe the Holy Scriptures, Lord. We apply them practically and we see that they are real. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let me tell you now all that's on my mind. Out of my family, my many friends, you picked me out. You made me like you, Lord. You made me love your word. You made me serve you when I was still so young. Thanks for choosing me. 'Cause you turned me inside out and you changed me. Gave me brand new life, only you. The only one who won my heart that way. And I wanna do all I can just to serve you. Surrender my life just for you. The only one who won my heart that way. Let me tell you now all that's on my mind. When I think about the day you called for me and said, you must sing for me. You must preach for me. Thanks for calling me. Thanks for choosing me. But how can I say thanks? Oh, oh, oh. And you turned me inside out and you changed me. Gave me brand new heart, only you. The only one who won my heart that way. All I can just to serve you. Surrender my life just for you. The only one who won my heart today. Let me tell you now all that's on my mind. See, no one ever liked me and no one shows me much. But you like me, Lord, and you chose me, Lord. And so with my life, I will serve you now. This is how I will say thanks. Oh, 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 and you turn me inside out and you change me. Gave me brand new life, only you, the only one. to live and die for. I'll give myself wholly to you from now. Oh, and you turn me inside out and you change me. Give me brand new life, only you. The only one who won my heart that way. Oh, and I wanna do all I can just to serve you. Surrender my life just for you. The only one who's won my heart today. Oh, you've won my heart today, yes, Lord. You've won my heart today, only you. The only one who's won my heart today. Oh, you've won my heart today, yes, Lord. You've won my heart today, only you. The only one who's won my heart today. Oh, you've won my heart today, yes, Lord. You've won my heart today, only you. The only one who won my heart that way. You've won my heart today. This feeling down deep in my heart since I found you. Now I'm on my way, Jesus, deep in sin, falling deeper and deeper into my sinful ways. But now I'm on my way and I have found a new life. I'm so glad I found a new life. Oh, I'm stuck on you. I found my place, and this is where I'm gonna stay. And now I'm on my way, Jesus. This is where found the love, the joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. And now I'm on my way. I have found a new life. So mighty glad I found a new life. Oh, oh. And this is a true and a faithful saying, that Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And Jesus came into this world to save a sinner like me. Oh, see, I was lost in sin and shame, but you gave your life to save me. So I'm stuck on you. I found my place, and this is where I'm gonna stay. And now I'm on my way, Jesus. This is where I found the love, the joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. And now I'm on my way, and I have found a new life. Are you glad you found a new life? Oh, I'm glad I found a new life. Oh, And oh, I don't wanna ever have to leave you, Jesus. I don't wanna ever have to lose my calling.
See, I love the brethren, I love my pastor, I love the church, the beautiful church, this first love church. Lord, I love to be with you, and I'm gonna stick with you, 'cause I'm stuck on you. I've got this feeling down deep in my heart since I found you. And now I'm on my way. Jesus, deep in sin, falling deeper and deeper into my sinful ways. But now I'm on my way, 'cause I have found a new life. Mm-hmm. Are you glad you found a new life? Oh, yeah. I'm so glad I found a new life. Oh, I'm so glad I found a new life. I'm so mighty glad I found a new life.
Are you excited to be in the house of God? I believe today is a special day as we close off the year. And I'm excited to hear the word of God. David said in Psalm 119 verse 162, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great spoil. And today I'm excited to hear the word of God. I'm excited to hear what God has to say. And in our church, the most important part of the service is when we hear the word of God. Amen. I can't hear you. I said amen. And today, as we close off the year, our prophet is primed and ready to deliver to us what God has to say to us. Amen. Heaven and earth will pass away, and the word will still be working. The word will still be alive. The word will still be blessing, and miracles will still be happening because of the word of God. And if you believe that nothing is impossible, when we trust in his word, when we trust what he says, then lift your voice and sing, nothing is impossible when we put your trust in God. This is the last time you sing this song this year. So lift your hands and sing it with faith. Nothing is impossible when we trust his word.
Hearken to the voice of God to thee. Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon his word.
Everything is possible.
Everything
is possible.
Yes, everything is possible.
Are you excited to hear from the word of God? Come on, sing, nothing is impossible.
Nothing is impossible.
At the back, I can't hear you singing. Declare nothing is impossible.
Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in his word.
Now say, hearken to the voice.
Hearken to the voice of God to thee.
Is there anything too hard for
is
God?
Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone.
And rest on his word.
Rest on his word.
Now declare over your life. You are ending this year with a miracle. Lift your hands and your voices and declare that everything is possible with God. Give the Lord a shout of praise as we welcome the preacher for today, your pastor. I can hear you, First Love Church. Bishop Dag, Heward Mills, give the Lord a scream.
Thank you, Father, for this Thanksgiving. How can I say thanks Sunday? We are excited and blessed to be in your presence. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Speak to us for these few moments, Lord, and we thank you for your guidance in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. How can I say thanks? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. How can I say thanks. Now, if you feel like breathing, you can take that thing off and breathe a few, whatever, you know, and then put it back on. I mean, honestly, you're not made to breathe in carbon dioxide. Because when you breathe out carbon dioxide. So how can you breathe back in? It's only when you are having a mouth-to-mouth resuscitation that somebody breathes his carbon dioxide to save your life, which is, I mean, honestly, let's be serious. So you can take it off and then breathe a couple of breaths or a couple hundred breaths if you want. I don't know. 1 or 200. Depending on how you feel, anyway. But you are covered. Amen. In Jesus' name. And then you can put it back on according to the protocols. Do what is right. I'm not telling you, don't go stand somewhere and say, I said you shouldn't wear the mask. It's not true. It's not true. But I'm telling you that you may need to breathe lest you collapse. I've seen somebody collapse with a mask. There's a movement called Right to Breathe Movement, Right to Breathe Association. Association of those who have a right to breathe. So, hey. So if you need to breathe, please breathe and then after that, cover. And if you are sneezing or coughing, you should tell the person, by the way, I'm coughing, or move away. Or you move. Anyway, how can I say thanks? Notice Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Okay? Now, that's the verse we need. It says, I, as a prisoner, I beseech you that you walk worthy. Now, what does it mean to walk worthy? This word walk worthy has appeared at least four times. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, it says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Okay? And then in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12, it says that you would walk worthy of God. All right? When God is good to you, and God has been good to you, or somebody has done you a favor, you need to live your life in such a way that is worthy of the favor that has been done to you. That's, almost common sense, but it's like you would have thought that everyone would know that sense. You've been chosen. Okay? Let's say you were chosen by the Prince of Wales or the Prince of Scotland or Prince of England or Prince of any Holland, right? To be his bride. Okay? You are from La Paz. You are from Dansoman. I don't know where you are from. And you've been chosen to be the princess. Okay? Now, the point that I'm making is that I don't think the prince eats kontomri. I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think the prince eats kenke. He's not from Lejokuku. I don't think so. So, since you've been chosen to be the princess, you need to walk worthy. Okay, so there's going to be some efforts you're going to make. All right? Some adjustments you're going to make because of the favor that is being done to you. Because it's a favor. I mean, it's all. But he also needs me. You don't talk that way. He needs you. Indeed. He doesn't know Gbawe. He doesn't know your area. He doesn't understand the things in your area. He doesn't know Tema. All right? So, you need to adjust your life so that you even show. Because some of you have never made a cup of tea before. You don't know how to even have toast and tea. Or even a fried egg, you don't know how to fry. You get what I'm saying? You think tea is Milo, but it's not. You think tea is Milo, but it is not. Tea is not Milo. You get it? What I'm saying is that a great favor is done to you in choosing you. You're going to have to make a whole lot of adjustments. Now, where you have people that have been married for some time and they start to take for granted the honor that has been done to them to be married. And they say, well, he also needs me. If I had not married, I'd have married somebody else. It's true. I'd have married somebody else. But we are all in the church today. It's not that easy to get a beloved. It's not easy at all. There's a shortage of beloveds. So it is easy to dismiss and say, you know, but he should also learn how to eat a banku and whatever. Well, I eat a kmala every day and he should also learn how to eat it. Wow. I don't think it's the right way to talk. So if you go back to Ephesians chapter 3, and let's go to the last two verses of Ephesians chapter 3. All right? Can we get that nicely, beautifully? And to him be glory. The last two verses, please. All right? Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, the next verse, unto him be glory in the church by Christ throughout all the ages, world without end. Now we go to the next verse, which is chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beg you, beseech his beg, I beg you that you should walk worthy of the vocation. Now, the word vocation is the word calling. It changed the version. It will say calling or something like that. Change the version. Yeah. NIV. As a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. You see? So you live a life worthy, commensurate with the calling. God has honored you. God has been kind to you. God is very nice to you. He's called you. He's blessed you. Okay? Okay? Now, how do you do that? How do you say thanks? How do you live a life worthy of being called and honored? How? How can I say thanks? How can I say thanks to the prince? How can I live my life saying thank you? There wouldn't be so many quarrels in marriages and bad Christian marriages if people thought this way. But after being married for some time, people take for granted what they have. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. That's why you should be in a relationship for some time, so that if you see that the person's taking things for granted, pop off. And you do what? Pop off. And then you change over quickly. Because what you see is what you saw is what you see, and what you see. You see what you saw. You will see in future what you saw in the relationship. When a person is some way, it's how the person will be when you are married. After some time, it will just be fully manifested. Yes. There will be no change. There will be familiarity. There will be assumptions and presumption. That's when we say people are presumptuous. Presumptuous. One day I had a meeting of some pastors. That church was very small at that time. And we were in a makeshift office somewhere. And I was late for the meeting. So I used to sit at a particular desk, and then we sit around like that. Just a few of us, I'm sure maybe not more than 6 or 7 or 10 of us. And I was late for the meeting. When I got there, one of the guys, one of the pastors who usually at the meeting, he was sitting in my chair and conducting the meeting. Yeah. So when I entered, I said, I was immediately taken aback by where he was sitting, because I didn't expect him to be sitting there. He shouldn't be presumptuous to sit where I sit to conduct the meeting, because who is he? As soon as I got up, I said, get up. And I said, never sit here if I'm not here. Never sit here if I'm not here. Don't assume. Because we are friendly and nice and so on. Oh, let's sit around and so on. I said, never sit here. When you see that, this is where I sit to conduct the meeting. Never sit here. Never conduct any meeting when I'm not here. That's presumption. And he became an orangu later. Totally. These are people that cross barriers. Called transgression. So you see people take for granted friendship, niceness, flow, you know. You know, one brother was lamenting because his friend had died. He said, this is my only friend whom, when I have something, he is happy that I have it. He's the only friend I have. But he was dead. He says, the only one that when I have something, he's happy. Genuinely happy. He's not angry. He's not, quiet. You know, quietness has a meaning. Yes. Quietness in English. Should I explain to you what the meaning of quietness in English? Quietness in English is no comment. And if you listen to the White House and the press people all the time, say, we have no comment to make at this time. We have no comment. It means it's the same as saying nothing. Silence. He says, the only person who is happy when I have things and everything I have, he's happy. He's the only friend I had, and he's dead. Yeah, it was sad. You cannot have everybody being happy, because quickly people cross boundaries and start making assumptions. All right? Presumptuous. Somebody's brought the meaning here. Put it up. The switcher watching me. Going beyond what is right or proper because of an excess of self-confidence or arrogance. Because of an excess of self-confidence or arrogance. A dictionary is an important book. Yes. Because of an excess of self-confidence and arrogance. Yes. Going beyond what is proper. Yes. I told, don't sit here. If I'm not here, don't sit there. And don't conduct any meeting. Just wait and chat. Don't start it. Because confidence and too much confidence and too much arrogance is not the way to say thank you for privileges. But privileges make you confident. Yes. Privileges make people confident. Favors make people confident. Oh, yeah. I deserve it. I deserve even more. But it's not said. And those thoughts don't come in that way. But it's a pervasive feeling and attitude which develops. And it's revealed in certain actions. Now, how to say things? How many want to know? Those at the back don't want to know. So those at the back, you can all excuse us. Those in the corner there, I think they don't want to know. Hello? Hello? The lady in the mask, do you want to know? I can't see your hand. Yes. Excess self-confidence. Where is she? I'm going. Let me see your hand, please. Can you see the lady I'm talking about? I can't see her hand that she wants to know. Excess self-confidence. And stand and lift your hand if you want to know what. Over here. Madam, why don't you lift your hand up? Hey, are you pregnant? Hey, I said, a big person. Most of us here are children. How many are glad to be children? Beautiful. Now, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I therefore beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation, or the NIV says, worthy of your calling. Now, verse 2 gives us how to say thank you. Verse 2 gives us how to say thank you. The Bible is in English. Look at it. With all lowliness and meekness. Humility again has come again. Humility and meekness. That is how to say thank you. You say thank you, or you walk worthy by being humble. That is how you do it. Are we reading or we are not reading? Yes. You become humble. Because when you appoint somebody, the person becomes very proud. I mean, I know one country once there was a president and then a vice president. The president became very big and was facing the president. Instead of always saying that we are here by His Excellency President so-so and so, he rather started to face the president that he's not doing the right thing. So sometimes when you appoint somebody, you are just hoping the person will not become proud. That's the main thing. And if the person is able to be humble, then the person has walked worthy of the calling. Yes. If I give you a position, I give you a role. If, let's say, I was not married now and I was now going to get married, trying to find a wife, everybody who is watching me will be hoping that this person, when she becomes the missus, will not become proud and be some way. That is what everybody will be worried about. That will be the main thing. So the main thing when you are given a special position is humility. Yes. That's all. Just be humble. If you are humble in your favor, you are the best. Yes. So it brings us almost to the same type of message again. How to walk worthy is like the next step forward. Are you with me? It's all the same. The next step forward is humility, and walking worthy is humility, and being thankful for what God has done for you is to be humble. Just so be low. Lowliness and meekness. Change the version, and let's see, maybe changing the version will change something. Change the version. Be completely humble and gentle. Wow! Wow! Be completely humble and gentle. That's how to walk worthy. Put the two verses there. Be completely humble and gentle. Yes. As a prisoner for the Lord, I then urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, and be patient, bearing with one another. I think we can go home. It's enough. What do you think? Yeah. You see, if you are given a job at work, a new position, a job, a favor, you become a beloved, you become a wife. And I say wife because there are more boys than girls. And there are more girls in need. You see, unfortunately, the girls need to get married by a certain age, usually. So let's be honest. This is not about woman, man preaching those type of things. It's just honesty. You get it? So it's a favor to you if you are chosen. You are chosen. It's a favor. And you don't have to think. That's why girls are always fighting over somebody. Yeah, because they need somebody. Girls are so afraid of being alone. They're afraid of not marrying. They're afraid of living alone. They're afraid that they'll be alone. They're terrified of that option. They're terrified of it. Even widows are terrified of that thing. That I'll be alone. That I'll have nobody. That there'll be nobody over me. There'll be nobody with me. And then when he comes to, then there's a beast. Oh, the things I'm preaching are not realistic type of preaching. But I don't want to preach in a way that is not applicable to you. Maybe you are in a different... Yeah. Yes. They are terrified of the idea that this may happen to me. Yes. The overwhelming desolation that comes. And that's why they fight. If I can get one man for myself, not one man to love, one man that belongs to me. Not somebody to love, not somebody to care for, not somebody to be nice to. Something that is mine. Nobody can challenge me. Any challenger that comes, I'll strike you. Whether I care for him well or not, it should be in the background. I'm sorting out all challenges. Rama Sakatora. What is the answer to all this? If God honors you as a prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you, I urge you, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. By doing what? Be completely humble and gentle. Yes. If I make you a bishop, be completely humble. Completely. If you are made a pastor, be completely humble. Completely. But you see, when you appoint them as pastors and then now there's a meeting, they don't come for the meeting. But before they are appointed, they always be coming for the meetings. And they come on time. It's fantastic. Appointed as a bishop. Now they don't listen to the message. I'm not saying they don't, but some don't know what's happening. Before they would listen. Now they are bishops. They know what I preach. Meanwhile, their church is very small. Look at this church. It's a mobile church. We don't know where we are meeting tomorrow. We just announced. It's a mobile church. Cell church. Be completely humble, oh. Be completely humble. Anything God grants you opportunity, I give you a chance to sing, be completely humble. Completely humble. Get a chance to act the drama, be completely humble. Give you a chance to be a missionary, be completely humble. Anything you are told to do, be completely humble. Somebody says, will you be my beloved? Be completely humble. You know, Kenneth Hagin said something. He was talking to, I don't know who he was talking to, but he was talking. He was preaching. His preaching is like talking. He said, if you had to do this to get him, you have to do the same thing to keep him. Yeah. If you had to do this to get him, you have to do the same thing to keep him. Yes. If you are humble to get him, Do you take you, then you'll be kowtowing. Be completely humble and gentle and patient, taking things easy. When you come into a new position, I want to be quickly, how much is the salary? What are we doing? So how do you get higher? So who are? One person came, he said, in this church, you cannot go higher than those who were there before you. I was wondering why he wants to go higher than those who were there before him. What does higher mean? Wow. Be patient, though. When you are not patient in your new job, you lose it. You will lose it and you'll be shocked. You have to be patient. Every boss is some way and is watching people. How they all behave with signs. He's watching everybody. Every boss is some way. Take it from me. I am a boss. I'm telling you, every boss is some way. It's watching for those who are completely humble, those who are gentle, those who are patient, and those who are living with one another in love. It's watching out for these things. Yeah. Now, don't say, oh, yeah, I'm just a young person, so I'm humble. No. No, no, no. Young can be very proud. Young can. The fact that you have a long argument with your mother, your father, your brother, it shows that you are not easy. Anyone with long counseling, there is something wrong with you. I'm telling you. Long counseling meetings, whatever the topic, is too long. It's a sign of pride. The meeting should have ended. Bling. Yes. And mind you, in Ghana, you know, one of the things about Ghanaians is that we have a very nice and humble disposition. What is the meaning of disposition? Check. Disposition. Disposition. Ghanaians. Fellow Ghanaians. We're going to be hearing fellow Ghanaians for another 4 years. What is the meaning of disposition? You are too slow. All right. One day it will come up. So your humble appearance and how you sound in humility. Yes, please. Thank you. It doesn't mean humility anymore because that's sort of like a learned behavior. Yes. Yes. Disposition, a natural tendency. See, the natural tendency to look humble. So you have a humble disposition, a humble natural tendency. Ghanaians will not naturally be arrogant and say, and so what? And so what? You know, you don't just, when I'm preaching, you say, and so what? No. It's not like, that's not our disposition. But, yes. One time I was preaching in a foreign country. And before, when I started preaching, I saw a lot of white people sitting in there, a lot of white people. And I said, as I'm preaching, some of them will get up and walk out. I just noted it in my head because I'm used to that. And just exactly as I thought to myself, when I started preaching at a point, they just don't get up, walk out, don't get up, walk out, walk, get up, walk out. Even at Legon, I had that. You see, the person's walking out. Naturally, a Ghanaian will not just walk out while an important person is speaking or a grown-up is speaking. It's a rude disposition. Your friends will advise, Charlie, just wait. You'll finish just now. Charlie, when they stand up now, you go out. That's how we are. But a white man will just say, oh, nonsense. I can't take this anymore. I'm getting out of here. No. It's not something you find in fellow Ghanaians. That's why all the politicians think they are winning. Everywhere they go, they are met with a humble disposition. Yes. Yes. Before the election, I was listening to different ones. When I heard this one, I said, we are winning. This one, I said, not during the election, before. But I was doing my own polls. I knew everything before it happened. From my poll, my polls were 100% correct. Yes. I could have told different people different things. Yeah. But every one of the politicians, when you hear, they say, ha, the ground is shaking. Have you seen the video of this? When he went to Kumasi, when he went to the north, when he went there, the ground is shaking. The people are crying. They want this person. I said, oh, really? Really? You don't realize that we are the way we are. We are. When you come, we will hail you. But it doesn't mean we'll vote for you. Yeah, to tell him, I won't vote for you. It's too rude. We don't talk. That's not how we are. A Ghanaian will tell you, I won't vote for you. Go away. It never happened in Ghana. It cannot happen. But then you see shooting, guns, and things like that. Then it shows you that our real feelings are different from the way we appear. Every campaign was beautiful and peaceful. Everyone was hailed. They'll even use your enemy songs to dance. Yeah. They use the enemy songs to dance. It's amazing. It's a tendency. So I am saying all this to explain, do not let your cultural disposition of humility make you think that you are humble. Because behind it, behind that facade, is the real person who can be very proud and very some way. All right? Yes. So, to conclude, we want to look at the book again, Those Who Are Proud, and see one or two steps more that can help you to be completely humble, to say thank you to God with your complete humility. All right? Now, looking at the life of Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 12 of my little book on those who are proud, you see in Daniel chapter 4, all right, verse 27, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Now, if you read from verse 1, all right, you see, Nebuchadnezzar, all right, in verse 4, was at rest in my palace, and I saw a dream which made me afraid, all right? And I came to the magicians, but at last I came to Daniel in verse 8. O Belteshazzar, all right, thus were the visions of my head in verse 10. I saw a tree, and the tree grew and was strong, and the leaves were fair. All right, in verse 13, I saw a watcher come down from heaven, and he cried, cut down the tree, in verse 14. Hey! And let, verse 16, let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let 7 times or 7 years pass over him. Then Daniel was astonished for 1 hour. Verse 20, and he said, the tree that you saw, whose height reached to the heaven, whose leaves were fair. Verse 22, it is you. You see, Ghanaians, we don't talk like that. It is you. You are grown and you have become strong, for thy greatness is grown. Whereas the king saw a watcher. This is the interpretation, verse 24, which is come, that they shall drive thee from men, for thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Whereas they commanded to leave the stamp, thy kingdom shall be sure. That means that after the 7 years, you'll be still around. You'll still be the head of state. Okay? Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Stop your sins by righteousness. All right? But he didn't. And verse 28, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom. And the king spake and said, is not this Babylon great that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Verse 33, the same hour the thing was fulfilled, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven. All right? And his hair were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. No one was cutting his fingernails for him. Now, are you listening? Now, in this story, we have a simple warning from the pastor, Daniel, in verse 27. King, do this. So the next step forward for you to be completely humble, because we know that Nebuchadnezzar was proud because he fell and became like an animal. His hair grew like feathers. He was a wild man. Did you see Saddam Hussein when they when they caught him? His hair was grown all over. And his nails were like, no, I don't know about Saddam Hussein, but yes, it comes like acrylic nails. And then becomes the nails become a lot. You get it? Now, what do you call it? You see, I don't know what disease it is, but what he was trying to tell this man was that you're going to get sick with a mental disease. Now, the nearest mental disease I can think of, maybe schizophrenia. I don't know if anybody knows a disease that can cause that. But schizophrenia makes you lose the sense of reality. That's a way to describe you are not in a real world anymore. So one of the main things is they believe things which are not the case. Nothing can change what they believe. That's schizophrenia. They are in another world. And then number two, they hear voices. They have auditory hallucinations. And they sometimes see things as well. It's like they have lost touch with reality. And then the third symptom, which you need to make a diagnosis if you want to have one or two symptoms, is they have what they call disorganized speech. Like when they speak, it's not related to, like he'll be talking about when he was a prince in Persia, when he was the president of Iraq. Yeah, he'll be saying so many things disjointed, and that's where we get the word salad from. So you need one of these three or two to make the diagnosis. If the person has lost touch with life, with reality. So in this, maybe he lost touch with reality and thought he was an animal and was moving around. And he was eating grass like an animal, the king. And I'm sure the media were asking, where is the king? Where they say, oh, he's around. He's having meetings. He's at so-and-so. He's troubled for medical attention. I mean, and then for years, 7 years it went on before his mind became back to normal. And it was a warning that was given to him by the pastor. But he didn't listen. He didn't listen. So today, I don't want to preach for long without giving you something real. I want everybody to take your pen and your paper and write down three warnings that you have ever heard being given to you by a pastor. Whether it is by me or by anybody, take a pen, or if you don't use a pen, your phone. You can put on your phone now. But you see, it was on. It should have been off. Warnings. It says, you didn't listen. Let my counsel, warnings or advice, write down. Because the humble step is to take the humble advice or warning that is being given to you currently is your next step forward. Because Nebuchadnezzar, all that he needed to do was listen to what Daniel was saying, even though he was a pastor or a prophet. Just listen to the advice or some kind of a warning or advice that is being given, and that doing that would be the next step to take him away from becoming an animal. Amazing. So everybody just see, because we are not preaching abstract messages here. Look at it carefully and see, how can you remember any warning, advice, something has been said to you? Then write three of them. If you have something like three. Like maybe you are preaching and you hear something and say, this thing, I should listen to it. Because how many times will we sit down together? Not that easy. So you have to glean. I never had a chance to sit with Kenneth Hagin to talk to him for even 1 minute. Never had even 1 second advice from him. I just have to glean from the preaching that this one is what they are saying to me. Three words, whether it's about marriage, whether it's about business, whether it's about school, whether it's about relationship, whether it's about anything, write down three and remember these three are, please, I hope you are doing that in Birmingham, in London, in Milton Keynes, in Sheffield, Leeds, wherever you are. I hope you are part in New York, California, Switzerland, Geneva, Zurich, anywhere you are watching. Please write down three is your next step forward to be completely humble. Don't disregard my preaching. Don't even disregard my telling you to write down. Just take it. Has anything been said to you? Do this. Make sure this is important. Do this. Write it down. God is telling you and showing you this is critical for your next step to the front. I'm telling you. Remember it. Remember it. Remember it. Recently, I met somebody. He told me, I said, what? What is this? He said, it's so-and-so's car. But when he said that, I remembered my father told me not to drive somebody's car. I always remember what my father told me. You know, there are some things that ring a bell in your soul, and you remember it. Write down three warnings. If only Daniel's advice, little advice, was hidden, and as casual as be happy. How many times have I told different people, be happy? Especially the wives. Because you see, after getting married, you find out that, Asomwa, it's a job that I've taken an employment for. Yes, at first you thought it was love. But when you go and you realize that, I didn't know that it was an employment. It was an employment grant that I've taken. It's an employment I've taken. It's a job, national service. Yeah. They are so shocked. AJ, are you not shocked? Yes. They want to marry so much after they find out that Asomwa is a national service. It's an employment. Wow. Then they become irritated all the time. Yes, irritated. Smiles are gone. Happiness is gone. Joy is gone. Be happy. Yes. Beautiful. Your next step forward, and how can you say thanks, is to remember the things that are that advice that is giving you that makes you humble and will make you walk a lowly, humble road. I promise you, it's your next step forward. It's your next step. It's the only way you can say that. That's why I say that if you appoint a vice president and the vice president starts to face you, you realize that he has become too big. This small position I gave him, it is becoming something. And that is an unfortunate response to being honored. And it's the same thing. When you are honored, the best and the only way is to be humble, completely humble in your job, and gentle, and also patient. Patient. Are you listening to me? Yes. Take your time. All right? So that is step number one. And how can I say thanks? Or step number two, be completely humble. Now, number two, you notice that Nebuchadnezzar spoke. He said, is it not this great Babylon that I have built? All right. So, the next thing is to know that all that you have achieved and that you are able to do is not by your own efforts. Yes. Is not this the great Babylon that I have built? I have built for my kingdom. You must know that whatever you are, if you pass your exam, it's not by anything that you are good at. If a man even likes you, it's probably that he is nicely deceived by your beauty. That is why he likes you. True or not true? Yes. Yes. All that you've achieved or you are able to do is not by your own effort. And Nebuchadnezzar said, you see what I'll be able to do? Look, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. That's why almost every achievement that I achieve in the ministry, I usually turn my back to it soon after it's finished. If you watch, you see. When I finished the Kodesh, I turned my back and moved away. Yeah, and came straight into the classroom. Beautiful. And onto the crusade stage where there was nobody. Keep moving. Keep moving on. Rather than walking around in your whatever. As somebody is choosing to marry you. Huh. His eyes are not seen so clearly. He's full of desire. He's also deceived. Yes. And that is a blessing that is deceived for you. And that's actually how. You know, you need to talk in the right way about yourself. Otherwise, before you realize, you are saying these things in your thoughts. Look at, I'm so beautiful. I'm nice. There are many of you look in the mirror and you be combing your hair. You look and say, wow. Hey, Charlie. Have you seen a girl who doesn't like a mirror before? You know, when we are building, sometimes they say, we need mirrors. If there are any ladies involved in the construction, they will say, we need mirrors, we need mirrors, we need mirrors. The girls need mirrors. Always looking at themselves. Hey! And you'll be saying to yourself, he's lucky that he has a beauty like me. Wow. Look at the great Babylon that I have achieved. Now, let the thoughts in your head be humble thoughts. Yes. Yeah, I don't have proud thoughts. It's not true. When Derek Prince was preaching about humility, he was preaching in England, he said, there is no one more proud than the British. He said, there's no one more British than me, and I'm saying it. And he said that there is no, where he was preaching, he said, there is nobody in this room that doesn't need that message. Everybody here needs to humble thyself. Yes. Say thank you by just going low. Yes. I would never be afraid to consecrate anybody as a bishop. Only one thing would occur to me, that even somebody who is not prepared, even somebody who is not prepared, once the person will not vaunt himself, that's the only condition. When you give people grace, authority, position, the next thing is humble yourself. That's all. The only thing you want to know is if somebody will be proud and rise up in pride. That is where you will regret. Because of the pride. So remember that. All our lives, whatever you are, whatever I am, whatever we are, take the low place and walk in nothingness. Genuinely. And don't think, if 25 people have followed you, you have 25 members. Thank God. Don't think you are powerful. Thank you. If you have lived and you have not committed certain sins before, bow your head and say, Jesus, forgive me even for doing it in advance in my head. If you have not been caught, Because you've not been caught
yet,
you are reveling in that strength that my life is secret. Careful.
Careful now.
Yes. So I'm sharing with you, the next step forward is to recognize you are a dirty dog whom Jesus has brought to the house and has scrubbed with vim and omo. Why what? A dirty dog that you have been scrubbed with vim. Is it true or it is not true? And Dettol. I forgot the Dettol. So don't strut around thinking, yeah, me, all those things that he's talking about, I don't have such, like he's always saying some of those things and I don't know who he's actually speaking to, but maybe they are in the church and all that, but by the grace of God, I mean, as for me, I'm clean. I don't have such struggles. Listen, pride is always seen in how you speak and how you act. But first, how you speak. Comments you make reveal your pride. Yes. Laughter. I heard it many years ago. I forget who. He said, when you laugh at people, it reveals your pride. Because the person is down. Yeah, a joke. Even some jokes, you see that it's bordering on, it's serious, but they are using a joke to say it. How many have seen people saying serious things, but they are using a joke to say what they want to say? Yes. So from today, humble yourself. Completely humble. Amen. Are you there? Beautiful. Now, Psalm 12, verse 3. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. Once you say certain things, you have crossed a line. That is why, you know, when we've been saying, will you take this whatever as your wedded wife? Do you promise to look after her, to do this, to do that? And say, I certainly will. I realize that I certainly will is too proud. So now I've changed it to, I will by the grace of God. Yeah, I'm changing it. When I even see the word, I certainly will. I say, it's too strong. I will by the grace of God. I'll be there on Friday. Say, by the grace of God, I'll be there. God will cut off proud way of talking. In the book, you see there's a proud way to speak. There's a proud way to speak. And learn the more humble way. It may sound a bit long-winded. By the grace of God, on Friday, I'll be there. If God permits. God willing. By the help of God. If God allows me, I'll be there. It may sound not faith. But it's also a more humble way of speaking. And it's safer for you because you hear yourself over and over again. Except you are making prophetic declarations. Those ones need the force of faith. Yes. That's why we always say certain things. I said, if the Lord gives me life, It's not that somebody is sick. No. Or there's a problem. But you recognize that it is by mercy. Yes, if you be here. The other day, I dedicated somebody's house. The house that he was occupying, somebody started to build it. And the very time the person was about to move into the house, he died. Yes. So they sold it. And this one rebuilt and moved in after many years. And I was saying that many people build and never occupy, never use, never enjoy. So it's the grace that you'll be alive, that you'll be well, that you'll be healthy, that you'll be around. It's just by grace. So when you, Nebuchadnezzar, are moving in town and saying, oh, look at, you see, here, I did all these things. You must be careful. You must be very careful. So, don't speak proudly at home to your mother, to your father. Because the Bible says God will cut off the proud tongue. He will cut it off. He will cut off the lips. As soon as Nebuchadnezzar spoke in that way, cut you off. When you criticize, you speak about Benny Hinn, he goes, cut you off. Yes. Do you know who Benny Hinn is to him? And what have you achieved? One day I was with Idahosa. Have you heard of Idahosa? Archbishop Idahosa. I was with him in London in a hotel. We were having lunch. Then he started to talk about people that were criticizing him. And he said to me, 70%, this must be like 20 or 30 years ago. He said to me, 70% of all pastors in Africa are my products or products of my products. And he said to me, when somebody has achieved 1% or 5% of what I've achieved, then he's qualified to criticize me. But if he has not achieved even 1% of what I've done, he cannot speak. As you open your mouth to downgrade somebody who is far greater than you in God's eyes, because he has even attempted to serve God, God looks at you and cut off the, he said, I will cut off the lips. That means he will finish you and wipe you out of the land. That's why Miriam was about to die. She got leprosy when she spoke about Moses. What have you achieved for God? You, Miriam, were you not there when Moses came to save you? If he has married somebody, or even if it's a mistake, I don't even know whether it was. If he has married an Egyptian or a Midianite, were you there? Do you know the pressure he was under? Do you know what would have happened to Moses if he had not married her? Do you know what that girl has done for Moses all these years when you were in Goshen? So, I will cut off. It means he will kill you. Look at it. And the tongue that speaks proud things, he will cut off that person. He will cut out the lips. Don't make any comment about anybody who is preaching. Don't make any comment at all. Don't speak. Because that speaking is like you vaunt yourself that you can comment on it. You can't comment on it. You don't know anything about it. I was once with a lay pastor. She was speaking all kinds of things. I told her, my friend, listen. You are, I don't know what you are, business woman. I don't know your job even. I said, me, my work is the church. I do it full time. You have no right or basis to tell me how to govern the church, who to put here, who to put there. As she was speaking very proudly, I was just looking at her. That was the end of her ministry. I'll cut off those lips. If you want to have a ministry, and you don't want God to cut your preaching off, Just learn not to make comments about things. Just close your eyes. When you don't like it, close your eyes, close your heart, and move on. But don't talk. Your talking will go against you. To go against you. The seeds you sow, you'll be shocked. The choices you make. You know, you have to be careful what you say. Huh? Cut off proud lips. When Jesus was standing there with Barabbas, and Pilate said, choose somebody. They chose Barabbas. When they were shouting, they shouted, Juzo, which is one of the strangest things. Derek Prince says that it's one of the strangest things for a Jew to say. He said, we have no king but Caesar. We don't know anybody. This villager, we don't know him. The king we have is Caesar. And Derek Prince said, for 19 centuries, Caesars have been released on the Jews and Barabbases have been released. Criminals have been released on the Jews and Caesars have been released on the Jews because they chose and they wanted it and they spoke it with their mouths proudly. This foolish, stupid man. We don't know where our king is Caesar. And we want Barabbas. So Barabbas and Judah and Caesars. It is said that the blood in AD 70, the blood went up to the knees in Jerusalem. Yes. So let's be careful. When Nebuchadnezzar was talking, you know, always ask, let your speaking sound humble. Like, even if it's, try not to sound funny. I don't mind him. Girls laughing at a boy who has proposed to you. Mocking. Mocking people at their weddings. Talking about someone says she's not beautiful. I saw one girl, she was ashamed of her mother. She said, my mother is too fat. She was ashamed. And her mother said, are you ashamed of me? Then her mother was standing behind and heard her daughter talking about her. My mother is too fat. She's this. You see, when the baby hippopotamus spoke to the mother, hippopotamus, and said, Mama, why is your mouth so big? The mother said, wait and see. Wait and what? See. You see why my mouth is big. Yes. You grow up and see why my mouth is big. In Ghana, we say hippopotamus. Hippo. So watch out. Friends, you are mocking your mother. You say your mother is fat, very fat. You are now ashamed of her. Wait and see. Yes. I know a lady when she was dying. She told the daughter. It was a curse. Because I think her body started to smell. You are ashamed of my smelling. Yours, you'll see when yours comes. And it happened to her. And she started to smell before she died. And the smell came and she died. These are all true stories. So, what's your way of talking? I hope it's a humble way.
of talking. Yes. Don't be like Nebuchadnezzar. Don't be careful, even with your friends. And even if it's with a fellow pastor who is talking in the wrong way. You people, you must know that pastors also make mistakes. So pastors are not always doing the right thing. So the fact that he's a pastor doesn't mean what you are saying is right. There are pastors who are wicked and they are doing bad things. That's one there. You don't have to assume. Also, but you appointed him. I appointed him, but some of the appointments are mistakes. They must be. Yes. God said to Saul, it repented me that I have appointed you as a king. Even God regretted appointing certain people. How much more me? Are you listening? All right. Now, how can I say thanks? Finally, Belshazzar. Bible says he drank wine in Daniel 5, verse 2. When he tasted the wine, commanded to bring, and they brought golden vessels that were taken out, and he drank in them. Now, leave the church out of your criticism and your beastly behavior, churches and pastors. You see, you, Belshazzar, you are going to have a party. Do you see? In Daniel 5:1, the Bible tells us that he was having a party. All right? Belshazzar made a great feast. Have your feast. And he drank wine before the thousands. But from verse 2, he said, whilst he tasted the wine, he said, let them bring something from the church. I want to say to you, that was a big mistake. And so later on, Daniel came and told him, your father behaved in the same way. And you didn't learn from him. So don't leave the church out in your talking. If you want to criticize, watch animals, do some other activity. Leave the church out. Church is a precious thing. It's God's house. Don't criticize Catholics. Don't criticize Methodists. Don't criticize anybody. Let's pray that we will get to that age. Catholic Church is over 2,000 years old. Let's pray that even we'll get 100 years. How will we be like in 100 years? It's not even too easy to be our age. So leave out the church. Have your party. Why do you call for vessels of gold from the house of God? How does it come in? How does it help us? If you want to do what, do it. But why bring in me? When you are doing your bad thing, how do I come in? Do it. And leave it out. So you see, it worsens when you bring in the church. He wouldn't have had any problem if he had not just had his wine and whatever. But once he called, he said, I want to drink wine from the vessels from the temple. How does it help you to drink wine from the temple vessels? Were you not drinking wine before? What difference is the taste going to be? But you see, people want to include the church and the pastors in their bad things. Leave it out. It will simplify your sins. Yes. As soon as the church comes in, it's complex. And that was when God said, no. You've gone too far. You touch. I remember one time there was a government in Ghana. They said, the president at that time, he said, I'm turning my attention to the church. That was the end of his reign. He said, I'm turning my attention to the church. Yeah. We have had a lot of them. So I'm turning my attention to the church. That was the end. From then onwards, that was the marker until he was out. Yes. Leave the church out. Yes. The church does more for Ghana than any foreign government. I can tell you that. Any foreign government, businesses, entities, private entities, the church does more for Ghana, has done more and is more powerful in Ghana. Leave them out. So, let us learn not to cross certain lines. You want to drink wine, drink it, but don't drink from the church's cups.
Amen. And then the last point is, you walk in humility when you learn from your father's mistakes. Daniel chapter 5, verse 18. Every one of us has a father. O thou king, O most high God, gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all these things. But thou hast lifted thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine. And thou hast praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Your father did it, and now you are doing it. Learn from the mistakes of your father and your mother humbly, because all of us have parents. And all of us, our parents are not perfect. So whatever mistake your father has made, or whatever you think is not even good, or whatever, learn from it. And pray that you will be doing something better. Lest you become a carbon photocopy of exactly what you didn't like, you become it directly. It's very easy. The easiest thing is for you to become what you've been watching. You easily become what you see. Yeah. If you are a girl, how will you know how to marry? You marry in the way what your mother should allow you to see. So the path that she showed you is what you will be copying without knowing that you are copying. You behave like her. And she was not excellent. You'll be not excellent too. Titarama super katabariana. Yes. So how can I say thanks? Learn from what is ahead. Whatever you see ahead that you don't like, don't stand and speak proudly against it. Learn and say, I can easily be this. Yes. I can easily be the same. My father has 5 wives. It's like Abraham, or it's like Isaac, or it's like Jacob, or whatever. I don't know. But you don't know easily. So a humble way is to see. He says, thou Belshazzar hast not humbled thyself. You have not humbled thyself. You saw your father. You saw your father's life. You have not humbled yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. If God shows you something, he said, this one would have been better. Learn from it. Humble yourself. You are going forward. That's how to say thank you to God. By being a humble person. Yes. And humility. Look at it. Thou, his son, hast not humbled thy heart, though thou knewest all this. He knew all this. Because some parents you can't know. But the ones that you know, you should have learned something from it. And you have not humbled yourself. Yes. So you are about to lose. And suddenly there was writing on the wall. And he said, you are finished. You are finished. Pride ends your life. So back to Ephesians chapter 4 as we close. Next step forward is in Ephesians, as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received from God. Amen. By doing what? Be completely humble. And what? Gentle. Yes. Completely. Completely. Completely humble. Trust me. It's the way high is to go down. Humble thyself in the eyes of the... He will lift you up himself very high. He will lift you up himself. Very personal. He will take it personal and say he's taking you up. Well, he said, I will lift you up.
Nobody will never lead you. He will take you. So I'm taking you up. When God picks you, say, up there. What will you say? Before you realize you are up in the helicopter. Hallelujah. You never thought you'd be there. Yes. You know, almost every high place I've been in the earth, I never thought I'd be there. Never, never in my wildest mind. Never. What will take me there? I didn't even know those places existed. Because he will lift you up by himself if you just go to, just go down. Yes. So, step number one is what? I gave you a couple of steps. Number one of the steps, put it back on the screen. I saw somebody writing the notes. Wow. Listen to the advice of the warnings. That's what Daniel was advising the Nebuchadnezzar. And when his son came to you, you didn't listen. You didn't humble yourself. And I told you to write down three advices or warnings. Did you write them? Number two, know that all that you have achieved or you are is not by your own effort. So write now what you have achieved. Write something that you have achieved. Write three things you have achieved. No, write it. Frida, take it. Number one, I'll tell you, you've achieved, you married your husband.
That's right.
What is his name? Richmond. You married, it's an achievement. Write down three things you have achieved. Number two, you had a child. Wow. Number three, you stand on stage to lead us in praises. Hey. You are the whole First Love Church all over the world. You have now, you have worldwide acclaim. International praise and worship leader on the platform. Write those three achievements down. Yes. These are three major achievements. Write down. No, I'm serious. This is not a preaching that hasn't got practical support. Humility is too difficult to locate, so I'm always trying to pin it down. Leonard, what do you think? Yes, it's a difficult topic. It always wants to escape. Anybody who has looked in the mirror and you find yourself nice, write it as one of your achievements. I am nice. I am nice looking. It's one of my achievements. Yes. If you think you are nice, I mean, look, there's nothing wrong. Just write. God will protect you from that being coming against you. Write it down. If you feel you are handsome, so what? I've achieved handsomeness. By the grace of God. If you are in class 6, write it down. I've reached class 6. If you are 40 years old, I've achieved 40 years on this earth. Pastor Frank. Prayer warrior. International prayer warrior. Has led 66-hour prayer meetings. And he has a beloved. Write down. He even has a wedding date. Have you written your three achievements? At the back, have you written your three achievements? Beautiful. Now listen, before we go, number three, leave the church and the pastors out of your attacks, isn't it? And number four, learn from the mistakes of your father. Beautiful. And number five, before we close, like Rehoboam, he said, respect the elders. Anybody who is old or older, all right? Respect it. You shall rise before the gray-headed. Because Rehoboam was advised by an older person, by the older man. And they said, no. Rabbi said, no, no, no. I don't listen to such things. I don't do what? Listen. Now listen. Every person in your life, no matter whether the person is a Christian or not, I'm going to give you some advice based on the scripture. If a person is older, pay attention when the person speaks. Leviticus 19, verse 32. You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the aged. You shall revere your God. Amen. And 1 Kings 12, verse 13. And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old man's counsel that they gave him. You see, once a person is older, just be more attentive and listen more. One day I was worried because most of my, I don't want to call them friends, but they were like also like friends. They were all older pastors. So I was discussing with this pastor. He was 70 whatever years old, getting to 80. And I was asking him, how come my friends are like the people that I know are this old? And he told me, no, I shouldn't be worried. But the fact that I can relate with all these older pastors is rather a good thing. I was asking that, does it mean something? Does it mean something bad or good? And he said, no. The fact that you can cross, you're able to relate these grown-ups, not sucking up to them or giving them flatteries, but like talk real. It means something good. Any person who is experienced, take our president, he's 76 years old. In 4 years' time, he'll be 80. I mean, what? Even if he doesn't know anything, his existence for 70 years plus, it has a meaning. That's experience. But I don't know what he, whatever he does or whatever, he's just older. I've seen so many things. Yes. How old is your mother? How old is your father? How old are some of the people in your life? You'll be surprised at the comments they will make. Yes. So I want us in the First Life Church to be young, but we listen to elderly people. When they say something, take your time. So yeah, and a grown-up person, not doesn't mean necessarily you will follow it per se, but it's like you are very careful. You are not dismissed. Oh, these old people. He doesn't even know Facebook. He doesn't know Twitter. He doesn't know what? He doesn't know Instagram. He's still using Facebook. He's still using Facebook. He's still texting. He doesn't even know WhatsApp and Telegram and Snapchat. TikTok. He doesn't know TikTok. Hangout. He doesn't know Hangout. You are now old here. You are now old. You don't know TikTok. Hang out. Lift your hands, everybody. Just thank God and pray and say, Lord, I beg you to help me to walk worthy. You can stand if you want to walk worthy of this amazing opportunity that you've given me today. To walk worthy. Be completely humble. Completely. Manta bala mashuberelebe. Talanda maralilo sete belede. Parenoke ramanda paladara madosaterebe. Halomanderelebede. Mandoka, learn from the mistakes. Your fathers, your mothers, the older people of your life's mistakes. Learn from it. Don't mock. Learn from it. Don't mock a grown up. Don't mock a father. Don't mock Mataka Balomara Malindo Katebela Marinde Ketemaba Malindi Bangendole Tebarido Beredilo Baradala Beredulo Beredili Babara Mandali Bole Bede Berede Malombere Nemele Colibrandelera Marandole Badabashomende Bakatabarandaliba. With every holy hand lifted up, Father, we confess our pride and we leave our pride on the floor right now. We stamp over our pride. We say no more pride and proudful behavior and talking, speaking. from our lives. Thank you for the next step forward, the next step forward, the next step forward, to listen to advice and warnings that have come Masatas personally. Matakamba Lomaranda Shambala Tabarakala Dasa. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you honor and we give you glory. Let your will and your word be fulfilled perfectly in every life. How can I say thanks? By walking completely humbly before you. Thank you for a second chance. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. I hear the voice of the Lord speaking. This is the beginning of a second chance. The God of a second chance calls you as he called Jonah for the second time in the belly of the whale, and hereby gives you the second chance for your life to be meaningful, for your life to be used of him, for your life to turn out for his glory. The God of the second chance speaks clearly by the voice of the trumpet, loud and clear, summoning you to the second opportunity. Dasako palamo satalama paridelese. Let this second opportunity not pass away without the fulfillment of the divine destinies of God in your life. Thank you, Father, for the voice of the second chance we are hearing loud and clear. We give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Whatever couldn't be done in this pandemic, it shall be done in the years ahead, to the glory of God and to the praise of his holy name. And everyone shouted amen. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you want to give your life to Jesus, lift your right hand up high. Pastor, pray with me. I want Jesus to come into my life and save me. If you are here like that, somebody invited you and you want Jesus, you are watching on the screen, you want to give your life to Jesus, lift your hand and pray with me right now. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Lift your hand up high. I want Jesus to save me today. Now, if you've lifted your hand up high, come to me in the front. If you are on the screen, lift up your hand if you want Jesus to come into your life. Come all the way. Come, I want to pray with you. Today. Way, I want to pray with you.
And let him have his way.
Oh, come on.
Come on to Jesus. Give him your life.
Give him your life today.
Come on to Jesus.
Let him have his way. Let us pray. All those joining by television, say this prayer. Say, Jesus, all of you here, lift your hands. Say, Jesus, come into my life. Please forgive me for my sins. Please write down my name in the book of life. I am sorry for all my sins. I am sorry for all my sins. Cleanse me and wash me with the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Go this way. Just go this way with our pastor. And if you're watching on the screen, you gave your life to Christ, or you're feeling lonely. Loneliness is one of the biggest problems in our world today. You need a friend. You can text, you can WhatsApp us on the number on the screen. It's going to be a blessing and a healing for you. Jesus is taking you forward with an amazing calling. What a blessing, what a healing, and what a salvation. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. And now,
How many feel equipped for the next step forward? Are you sure? Are you sure? Do you believe your life is going to go higher and better? I believe it. Wow. How many like this amazing verse I've given you today? Ephesians 4 and verse 1 and 2. Be completely humble. Your new position, your new job, your new anything. Just be completely humble and patient. It's fantastic. I mean, I was watching a film and it's like, when things were happening, there was a boy, his girlfriend left him. Like, they have no advice. Like, they'll say, oh, don't mind. You see, you know what? They'll give advice. You know, when it flies, a bird flies, it will come back. I mean, different. Like, you don't know what they to do to advise themselves in this world. We have the Bible. The Bible is the word of God. It's telling us, what will I do next? Wow. How can I say thanks? How can I walk in a worthy way of my new blessing? If God is giving you a second chance or whatever, what should you do? Be completely humble and patient. I like the patient one too. Is it not that? Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Humble and gentle. Gentle means gently. What do you take? Take your time. Take your time. Beautiful. If you are elected, how do you walk worthy of your election? The Bible has an answer. Amazing. We are going to now receive Holy Communion and then we'll be on our way. Every standing.
Take, eat, this is my body which was broken for you. Drink, this is my blood which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Mm-mm. The cup of blessing which we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal, the meal of God.
May every disease in your life die instantly as this holy communion enters your body. May every virus die when it makes contact with the body of Christ that is now going to be in you. May every variant, every new strain of coronavirus, nor any plague or any curse that comes near you, when it comes in contact with the body of Christ, which now transfuses and merges with your body, may it die. May it die. And may it die again. The body of Jesus Christ.
When I see the blood, oh yeah, I will pass over you. Ooh, oh. When I see the blood, oh, I will pass over you.
Now, every mistake you made, especially financial mistakes you made in 2020 or 2019, through the blood of forgiveness, the blood of remission, the blood of restoration, you are restored financially. Every sin you committed that has destroyed your life and that has harmed you in any way, you are restored by this blood. You are forgiven because of the blood of Jesus. Oh.
when I see the blood, oh yeah, I will pass over you.
Now lift your hands for your blessing. Whatever collapsed before you this year rises from your dead, from the dead, before your very eyes. To your surprise, the dead comes back to life now. What fell out of your hand in 2020? What fell out of your hand in 2020? Comes back into your hands. Receive restoration now. In Jesus' name. Whatever price has to be paid, Kanaro Masata, for you to be redeemed and purchased and returned back to God, the price has been paid now. In the name of Jesus. Anyone who was banished, you were banished, you were sacked in 2020, I hear a voice calling you, come back, come back. You are restored in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever seemed as a dark shadow and a dark cloud over your life, I see a bright light banishing the dark shadow and the dark night over your life. Receive light. Arise and shine, for thy light has come. Whatever hole your leg went into and now you were trapped in 2020, this is the last Sunday in 2020, your leg has been chained. Today, I declare your leg is out of that chain. Let me hear your loudest amen. 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 Whoever look upon you to curse you, to rail you, to insult you, I declare those things return to sender in the name of Jesus. Let me hear your loudest amen. The stone that was rolled against you shall be rolled back upon him that rolled it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You are now called Victorious One. I name you Victorious One. I call you the victorious one. I call you the winner of the battle. I call you the winner of the war. I call you the champion. I call you the victorious one. Shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. In the name of Jesus. The power of God. The power of God hovers over your head. Hovers over your head. To bring to pass all these prophecies practically in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever resists your rising. Whatever resists your return. Whatever resists you as a stumbling block. I curse that stumbling block now in Jesus' name. Whatever made you stumble in 2020, Namakata, it disintegrates before you now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Whatever stifled you spiritually, spiritually, you are not doing well. You are breaking free now in Jesus' name. Become a spiritual giant in 2021. Become a champion in the spirit in 2021. Be a master of magicians and witches and wizards in 2021. Be a superior to every witch and wizard and every occultic power in your life in the name of Jesus. In 2021, I declare your superiority over wickedness, over powers of darkness, over every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Whatever resists your advancement and your forward movement comes under judgment today in Jesus' name. I declare judgments against stumbling blocks, against hindrances, against obstacles, against high things, against proud things. I cause them to be dismantled in the name of Jesus. Every roadblock that says no way, I say no way to the no way. 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 In the name of Jesus. Let me hear your loudest amen. Lift your hand. I receive the oil that comes from heaven above. Does anybody have anointing oil? Please find some oil. Find some anointing oil. It's an anointing service. Mankata baramando la banda samanda libadebeke. Hora makata balanama. Dolamba ramasombe. You see, Shalak night has already begun and the blessings are flowing. Makando kamado la ramanda zamadi kelebehe. Shalak, be anointed for 2021. Put the oil on your head. If you have some of the oil, put it on your head. Maratasa, maratasa, marondala mashabele bekemandala. Put the oil on your head, please. Makabola manda. The cup of blessing has turned into a blessing. The cup of blessing has become a blessing. Now lift your hands, everyone. No more movement. If you don't have an oil, just put your hand on your head. No lara maza. Yazago tagaza. The anointing oil that was poured on Saul that turned him into another man is the oil that descends from heaven now and turns you into another man. Whatever, you see, whatever about yourself, you say, I don't like myself. Receive oil and be changed into another man, another woman, another girl, another person. Receive it now. Anointing from heaven, power from God, grace from heaven, multiplied grace to increase, to go forward, to become another person, another man, another woman, another girl, another boy. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. Whatever about you was crooked and was called crooked and not nice and not straight, by this anointing, it is straightened now. It is straightened now. Now, the power that turned Jesus from a carpenter to a worldwide savior of the world, that is the anointing that comes upon you now. Receive the anointing. Be turned into another man. Be turned. You are transformed for 2021. 2021 is your year of transformation. 2021 is your year of transformation. You are transformed into another person. In 2021, you shall go where only transformed people can go. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. Because you were little, it seemed that you couldn't enter. But now, because you have humbled yourself, you shall enter where little people don't go. The Lord shall lift you up and place you there. He lifts you from the miry clay and place your foot upon a rock to stay. Be permanent. Be stable. Be blessed. Receive stability. Receive stability. Receive stability. Receive stability for your life now. In the name of Jesus. I see a flying handkerchief. This handkerchief is wiping away tears. Ma katola ba maralosa barada. May whatever makes you to cry be dried out of your life today in the name of Jesus. You are blessed. You are blessed. You are healed. And you are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. Now everyone lift your hand and thank God for his mighty blessing that has come upon you through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. You shall prophesy, you shall preach, and you shall be turned into another man. Be blessed of the Lord. You'll be hearing congratulations throughout 2021. You'll be hearing congratulations throughout 2021. You'll be hearing congratulations throughout 21. 2021, your year of celebrations of your congratulations. Tarama sabrakata baroma damabaka baramata rababa. In Jesus' name. I pray, I declare, I command it to be so, and it is so in Jesus' name. You shall be hearing congratulations throughout 2021. For your shame, you shall have double of congratulations. Give the Lord a shout of hallelujah. Give the Lord your loudest amen. Give the Lord your loudest I receive it. In Jesus' name, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord and in heavenly places.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.